Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, July the 12th, and I appreciate you being tuned in over WSOF, WAJJ. I appreciate our faithful listeners. Let me just real quickly give you some prayer requests. We're going to go to prayer. I've got a lengthy message today. I want to try to get it all in, if I can, Lord willing. I want you to pray for our upcoming marathon, that's special and heavy on our heart, that we could see God move in a mighty way. Brother Herbert Williamson's preaching on Friday night. That's this Friday night. The marathon is Thursday through Saturday, and we're praying that God would meet with us in a special way, that sinners might be saved, saints might be strengthened, revival might come to the saints, and that God's name might be glorified. So if you will, go to the Lord in prayer with us at this time. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to be around this radio mic. I thank you for the privilege to pray. And Lord, we're preaching on prayer. We're going to be dealing with that. And we've got some good, powerful points that we're making today on the broadcast. Lord, I pray that you'd use it for your glory and for your honor. Now, Father, I do pray that, Father, you'd help in the upcoming marathon. You know the need that we have. Lord, you know those that have the means to supply that need. You have the means. I pray, Father, you'd move on people's hearts and have them be partnered with us and give according to thy perfect will. Father, I pray that you'd move on people's hearts, they might trust Christ and be saved before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray you'd anoint and use Brother Herbert. Give him great strength and power and anointing from on high. Father, I pray that you'd use him for thy glory and thy honor. Then, Lord, I pray that you'd bless this broadcast and use it. Lord, bring sinners to Christ. Revive the saints, we do pray, and get glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to go right to a song and then to the message. Luke chapter number 11 is where our text will be. Our text for today, Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And we are looking at what I've called prayer secrets. Our Lord teaching us, in his own words, how to pray. Look at verse number 2. "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." I want you to notice these words in verse number 2. "When ye pray, say, Our Father." Now, we have noticed in studying these prayer secrets that, first of all, we are introduced into prayer by an invitation. Christ invites us, or perhaps I should say God invites us, to call unto him. Our Lord said, "And I say unto you," verse number 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And so we see that the invitation comes from the Lord that we can pray. Then we talked about the presence of God that is there. In Matthew 18:20, our Lord said that, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And so I'm glad the Lord will show up in our prayer place. We look, thirdly, at the opened door. We come in not through our own righteousness or our own recognition, but we come in through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And then on yesterday's broadcast and the previous one before that, we looked at the atmosphere of that place of prayer. In Hebrews 4:16, he said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." And we talked about the throne there that we come. "To the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. Now today we're looking at verse number 2 of Luke chapter 11, particularly that address. This is where we send our prayer. When we pray, we're praying to the Father. Amen. Now, in our message yesterday and the previous one before that, we were looking at the fact that we could recognize and realize that the sovereignty of the one to whom we're praying to, we're praying to one sitting upon the throne. But today, we're going to notice that this one who is sitting upon the throne can be addressed as our Father. Hallelujah. Now, I expect that, you know, in a kingdom, let's say in England, England still has a king and a queen, and in the kingdom that the king and queen maybe have children, there's princes and princesses, and these little children, as they run along through, let's say, Buckingham Palace, although their father is the king, yet because of their relationship to him, they probably are allowed to call him by that familiar and loving name of our Father. Amen. That's how it is with us. Though the one sitting upon the throne is the God of gods, he is the King of kings, he is the Lord of lords, and yet because we are related to him, we can call him our Father. Amen. Let me point out to you, if I can, some things here that I believe will help our prayer life when we realize that the address of our prayer is to our Father. First of all, I'll mention the introduction into the family. Talk about the family a little bit. Then talk about the instruction of the Son, what the Son has told us in instruction, and then the implication of that relationship that we have there. So introduction to the family. Obviously, this title, when we address our Lord as our Father, that must be enjoyed only by those who have a privileged position. Amen. Not everybody can call God their Father. Amen. Now, there is what some people call the universal fatherhood of God. That doctrine teaches that since God made everything, he is the creator of all, then he is the Father of all, and in that sense, he is the Father of the universe. And yet, our Lord Jesus said to some that God's not their Father. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil, signifies that to that crowd the Lord was speaking to, that God's not their Father, although he is their creator. Amen. And so then we talk about the individual fatherhood of God. That's where I want to zero in on this thought, the introduction to the family. How do we get into this family? Well, you see, in a spiritual sense, in an eternal sense, this truth is applicable to nobody except believers. You see, the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle John the honor of writing about how people become the sons of God. In John chapter 1 and verse number 12, the Bible said, but as many as received him, who's him? That's Jesus. That as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that word translated power there, they say has the meaning of authority. Christ gave them the authority to become the sons of God. Or it means the right or the privilege. So God gives us the right or the privilege to be called the sons of God. How? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in him. Amen. So therefore, we can see that only by receiving Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord do you or I have the right to be called the sons of God. Then the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul these words in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. He said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, of course, Brother Paul was not speaking to the whole world as being the children of God, nor was he calling all the Galatians the children of God, but rather he was speaking to all the Christians in Galatia. Matter of fact, that epistle was written to the believers who were in the churches of Galatia. Amen. And so we see here he's speaking to those believers, those who have accepted Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You see, new birth into the family of God is by the regenerating operation of the Holy Ghost. It takes supernatural power for a person to move from the realm of the flesh, just born in the flesh, to being born of the Spirit. And that takes place at the very moment when receiving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is exercised in the individual. At that very instant, when that person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is gloriously, eternally, and miraculously introduced into the family of our Father. Oh, what wonderful grace that is. Oh, what love from our God. Hallelujah. That we can be called the sons of God. That's what John said. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And by the way, let me say something about this being gloriously saved. Sometimes we use that phrase and people talk about getting saved. They talk about being gloriously saved. And it would seem like that we would reckon that, well, some people shouted the roof off when they got saved. And some people do shout when they get saved and some don't. Amen. Some weep profusely and some don't. It's not the emotion that we have nor the exhilaration that we have, but rather it is the experience that takes place when God removes a load of guilt and sin off of our shoulders, hallelujah, and He puts the grace of God in our heart. He puts the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, amen. And God makes us into a new creature at that moment, whether you shout or not. You got gloriously saved if that happened to you. Whether you wept or not, you got gloriously saved when that happened to you. Anybody that's got saved by the grace of God is gloriously saved because God gets the glory for that. Amen. So there's introduction into the family. How do we call Him our Father? Well, it's because we've been born again by the Spirit of God. Now, I want to talk about the instruction of the Son. You see, our Lord is calling us sons. And every son is to be instructed by his father. Every child is taught a lesson. The lessons we're going to deal with today is about prayer. I want you to notice how God teaches us. First of all, he teaches us by his example. Jesus is the one that's saying, our Father. Our Lord was praying. The disciples saw him praying and didn't interrupt his prayer. I've said this again and again. He did not interrupt his prayer, but he observed his prayer. And then when our Lord was finished, this disciple, unnamed, went and asked the Lord to teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So Jesus is our example. And when our Lord prayed, he used this familiar term in calling upon the one that sat and sits upon the throne. There are seven illustrations in Christ's very words that's used in prayer. Our Lord in prayer, we can read his words seven different times. In the King James Bible, he's praying to the Most High God. In each of these situations, he uses the phrase Father. In Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 25, the Bible says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. So when our Lord said, as you start your prayer, say, our Father which art in heaven, he's not saying that we have to use these words, but he's talking about the attitude of prayer and the address to prayer. We're praying to the Father. Amen. We're not praying to a saint. I know that the Catholics teach that, and maybe some others believe that. We're not praying to angels. I know some superstitions believe that. We're not praying to dead people gone on. No. We're praying to the Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. We're not praying to Mary. We're not praying to Joseph. We're not praying to the three wise men. We're praying to God the Father. Amen. And Jesus made that plain in that prayer, Matthew 11, 25, when he said, O Father, but then he says, Lord of heaven and earth. Look at Matthew 26 and verse number 39. Our Lord says this, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Again, a few verses later, Matthew 26, 42. And he went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. In Luke 23, verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So we saw in Matthew three times already that our Lord prayed and he said, O Father, O my Father, O my Father, there in Matthew. In Luke 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them. A few verses later, Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. John chapter number 12, verse number 28. Our Lord said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And one more time, John chapter number 17, and that prayer in Gethsemane, our Lord's Prayer, verse number 1. The Bible said, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." So I'm saying that our Lord knew that his prayer was going to heaven. He knew that his prayer was going to the great God that sat upon the throne, and yet he called him Father. How much we could learn by watching our Master as he prayed. The divine Son is frequently found in prayer in a solitary place. And there in that place, he's getting the strength that he needs, and here is the lesson. He tells us to call him, the God of heaven, our Father. So we see we are instructed by his example, and we are instructed by his express injunction. He tells us, he teaches us, that we are begin our prayers just as he did, addressing our prayer to our Father, which art in heaven. Now let's be clear that it cannot be wrong to pray to Jesus himself, for he is God. Neither could it be wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit, for he is God. But the Lord Jesus is instructing us in what is the normal procedure. Prayer is usually to be thought of as being to the Father by the Spirit through the Son. Amen. The Son knows how sons should approach the throne. He tells us that our ordinary habit ought to be to call on our Father. What a great effect this will have in our heart. What a great change this will make in our prayer life. When we really grasp, we are part of the family, praise God. And we're going to our Father with these needs. One last thing. I want to talk about the implication of this relationship. Think with me a minute about what this means. There's three things we ought to consider. First of all, the Father's love wants what's best for his children. Amen. We can understand this. Natural and human plane. Just as a human father, we want what's best for our children. But when you expand that this love we're talking about, the Father's love, is actually God's love. Oh my, how it magnifies that equation. You see, whatever is good for us, the Father wants us to have it. It's written in the Scripture, Psalm 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Therefore, when we come to him with our request, we ought to be assured and rest assured that he, our Father, has our highest welfare in mind. He's no less anxious than we are that our needs should be granted. Secondly, not only the Father's love wants what's best for his children, the Father's wisdom knows what's best for his children. Again, in the human sphere, love is not always wise. Sometimes the loving parent may err and may err exceedingly as to what is best for that child that they love. But this is a problem that can never arise in our spiritual relationship because God's love never outruns his wisdom. Amen. Exactly these two qualities correspond within God. They correspond exactly. And that is when God refuses something, we can surely realize it's not for a lack of love. It's for the fact of wisdom. When God says no, he was wise and good in saying no. And we ought to be able to trust that explicitly. Amen. We ought to trust and accept that even cheerfully. The Father's love wants what's best for his children. Number two, the Father's wisdom knows what's best for his children. And then number three, the Father's power does what's best for his children. Praise God. Over and over and over again in the human family. This thing that the parent wants that child to have, maybe it's something that the parent knows the child needs, and yet, because of the inability of the parent, they can never grant it. How different this is in God's case. What God's love dictates, what God's wisdom approves, his power can supply. Hallelujah. Friend, if you got a need, go to the Father. Call on God and recognize Him as a loving Father, as a wise Father, as a powerful Father. Thank you for listening.